Good morning, everybody. I had a nice night. I'm glad my sister came over and spent the night last night. And you know, it's a neat thing because, you know, I do Bible studies with my kids. And the gist of our Bible study always boils down to loving God, loving one another. And, you know, sometimes you just don't think that they're grabbing a hold of that thing. Sometimes I don't think I'm grabbing a hold of that thing. In fact, I'm shown many ways where I have not grabbing a hold on these things. But it's an amazing thing as I sit there and watch my daughters deal with my niece. Now, my niece is quite younger than the rest of them. But the patience and the love that they have for my niece is just amazing. And what that tells me is that the Lord is well able in them to move. And in those Bible studies and that seed that is sown is not in vain. But there's actually fruit from that. So praise the Lord. And all I could do is say, praise God. Because it's by His love and His Spirit that that happens. But it's probably going to be a short one for me this morning. Oh yeah. But you know, that remains to be seen. You know, late start, went straight over to Polly's, cleaned, you know, fingernail polish off my fingers from my niece painting them down yesterday. I'm sure y'all all wanted to see that, right? But, you know, look, praise the Lord. And one of the things that kind of stuck with me was what Lisa said Thursday night. Casting all your care upon Him. And the reason why that stuck out to me so much is because I had made a decision to, you know, make a job change here. And this job change, and let me tell you, it's been 5 years since I did it. And what I did 5 years ago was just do a certain amount of things. I'm getting hired on to do a lot more. So not only am I having to go and do what I did before, and I haven't done it in 5 years, but I'm to take on a lot more other things that are happening. And I'm going, oh my goodness. I'm like, great opportunity, but it scares the stuff out of me. You know, I didn't want to use that one, you know. I want to use the other one than, you know, that one. But it does. It scares me. But what do I have to draw on? What do we all have to draw on? You know, I know that the Lord has met me every single time when I have turned unto Him. The Lord has met me when I have not turned unto Him, just to show me His power and His love towards me, and that He cares for me. You know, He's faithful, I'm not so much. So what do I rely on again? I rely on Jesus Christ. Once again. You know, it's an interesting thing because yesterday's faith isn't going to save you. I know the Lord's moved mightily in my life. And I know He can still move mightily in my life. But that doesn't mean just because He moved mightily in my life and has showed up and has provided for me that I just stop trusting the Lord. No. Yet I have opportunity to practice more faith in Him and what He is able to do. And realize that in Him is light and there is no darkness at all. Which is a very big praise the Lord and a comforting saying you were saying Thursday night, because I tell you, it scared me. Even though I had those past experiences and even though the Lord has showed up for me, I still look at that thing and I go, what do I see? I'm like, that's a giant. You know, I see Goliath standing there. Oh, I see a giant standing there. But remember, Kimora, what we talked about. We can kick that giant's butt. Yeah. You know, Kimora has this thing she was talking about last night. Well, thank you, Kimora. It actually brought me into something. She started talking to me last night. We're outside on the porch. She started talking to me about this giant. I said, you know what, Kimora? We don't have to be scared of the giant. There's no giant. We don't got to be scared of the giant. You know why? Because Jesus is here with us. And if we can understand that and just grab a hold onto that and not let it go, what do we have to fear? What? Nothing. If we truly believe the gospel and what He has done for us, what can hold us back? Nothing. Lisa, you talked about Thursday night. What must we do to the works of God? Believe on Him who He has sent. That means anybody can do it. And the type of belief that we're talking about is the type of belief of Abraham. Where Abraham was to offer up Isaac. Didn't hold anything back from the Lord. But believed God that the promise thrust through Isaac that He would have to raise him from the dead. And he was obedient to that. Are we going to have that same stepping out in faith? Are we going to have that same belief? Are we going to put off this old carnal man and put on the new man, which wants to believe God, which desires to know Him, which can trust in Him? I'm looking at this decision and I have nothing to fear. Nothing at all, because the Lord's good. And if I step out wanting to further what He has, to glorify Him in it, as another testimony to bring Him glory, where can I go wrong? If it's all about serving Him and glorifying Him, and to be a part of His plan, where can you go wrong in that? He's not going to let you down in that. He's good. That's all I have this morning.
You know, it's kind of neat. But the cast all your cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. That's part of what He does. That's part of His part of the relationship. Not all of it, but it's part of it. When the Lord was heading out to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He says, you know what? This is Abraham's place here. We ought to perhaps have a word with him and let him know what we're going to do. Because He cares for him. Very simple. The whole of Jesus' ministry was Him demonstrating His love and His care for the people. Now, He had His warfare with Pharisees, the religious of the day. Well, look at John chapter 10. He's just healed this blind guy and suffered the grand inquisition on how did this happen? And that went for quite a while over there in chapter 9. So the dialogue is really ongoing with the Pharisees. This is really not separated from the dialogue in chapter 9 and is parenthetically, I'm putting it together. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He knows his sheep. He knows their name. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. There's a couple of interesting points here, and he's going to say it all again, as if you didn't need a second witness. As if we don't need second witnesses. We do constantly. But the idea that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd knows the names of the sheep. It's how our relationship's supposed to be. You know, and somebody floats a stupid idea about, you know, that they don't know or understand about how God is. They wouldn't know him or his voice, you know, if it smacked them upside the head. But someone who does know him can challenge the stupidity of a statement or the charge. The idea that God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who are on their knees saying they can't do anything on their own. That's who he helps. He meets them. They have humbled themselves before him. God's mysterious ways. Well, they're not supposed to be mysterious. If they're mysterious, it's your fault. Because you haven't sought him. You don't know him. Where did I leave off? 9. I'm not getting a whole lot of feedback, so. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. I don't think it was that. I think it was verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. No, it was that. Verse 8. I am the door. By me. How many times has he said that now? I know I've said it a bunch of times, but this is at least the second time he said, I am the door.
There's not.
Yeah. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's the level of his commitment to the sheep and their safety. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the sheep coming and seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. That's the second time he said, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of his fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Okay, there's no mysteries to what he's talking about here, right? In the first case, he's talking about the Jews, the people of Israel. In the second case, he's talking about Gentiles, the other fold that he's going to bring. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father. So it caused a division amongst the Jews, saying this guy's crazy, he's a devil, he's mad, why hear we him? Others said, these are not words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open up the eyes of the blind? We're still hung up with the guy that got healed in chapter 9. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. It's kind of nice how they're pitching that on him. Like he hasn't been explaining to him all along. Clearly this isn't the fact that our, it isn't given to us to believe. No, it's not a lack of faith or failure to overcome unbelief. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And this has got to be the third time he said, my sheep know my voice. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them unto me, is greater than all. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So what do? They pick up stones. Got to kill this guy. He's really, really a threat to us. What you have here is the ultimate caretaker. It's what the shepherd is of the sheep. He keeps the would-be assailants. There'll be a wolf or whatever it is in whatever part of the world. A coyote or, I don't know, any other kind of assailant. That's not the word I'm trying to think of, but I can't think of the word. So, predator, that's the word I was trying to think of. But this makes some pretty much declarative statements about the kind of relationship we have, and we either have one or we don't. If we're in this, what you call it, probably a metaphorical arrangement, if we're his sheep, if I'm his sheep, then I know his voice. And another's voice will I not follow. That was at one time not a comforting idea to me because I didn't know his voice. And if you don't know his voice, whose voice are you listening to? It should scare you. Who's taking care of you? Who's the one that's concerned for your well-being? If you don't have Jesus taking care of you, then whoever is responsible for it has limitations. And he can't have the same kind of relationship. He or she cannot have the same kind of relationship with you that Jesus has for his sheep. He gives them eternal life. He says they shall never perish. He says none can pluck him out of his hand. He says he shows he cares for them. He loves them. He laid down his life for them. He didn't just say it. He did it. You may have some well-meaning caretakers, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. If you're not listening to his voice, whose voice are you listening to? If you don't know his voice, you wouldn't know it if you had heard his voice. The whole point of this is he hasn't done all this stuff to be hidden from these people. He's doing all this stuff so he can reveal his character, so that they can have a relationship with him. He's not trying to go take this knowledge and go hide it in some temple somewhere or under a big old rock. He's definitely not trying to keep it housed in a clean, tidy church building. He's taking it out to the people. And it's the job he's given us. And if we really care for people, we're going to deliver that word to them. And we're going to love them. And we're going to empathize with them. And we're going to show them grace and mercy. And the love that he took to the cross to deliver in resurrection eternal life. That's how good he is. That everything he says more than once, especially more than once in one chapter, gets my attention. It's pretty important. If there's a second witness right there, it's important. Let's remember to imitate his love by caring for other people and trying and doing love to them like it has been done to us. I'm done.